I can invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. God of peace, we ask that you would send your Spirit, who would descend upon our hearts in this moment, and help us to truly experience your peace and your loving presence. And we ask now that you speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to yourself. Continue to shape us and mold us into all that you've called and created us to be in your image. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 9. I'll be reading verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And now turning to Luke chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week I told you a story about asking Mandy to marry me, the story of our engagement. And this week I decided to share with you a story from our honeymoon. It just seemed fitting. Well, we actually had the opportunity to go to Cancun, Mexico for our honeymoon, which was, we had a great time, beautiful place. We had a lot of fun that week together. And On one of the first days there, we decided we're heading to the beach, we're getting in the ocean. Now, Mandy grew up, her family went to the ocean most summers. She taught swimming at one point. She's a very good swimmer. And I grew up swimming, but I didn't see the ocean until I was in college for the first time. And so I love the ocean, but every time I get in the ocean, I'm still in awe of just the grandeur of it, as well as the power behind the water. Well, on that particular day, it was windy. Windy across the beach, but it looked like any other ordinary day. And so the ocean, I mean, it looked relatively peaceful on the surface. Fortunately, we decided we were going to do some boogie boarding. So we each had boogie boards, and we start swimming out into the ocean. Well, when we got out there, what we realized is that there were currents underneath the surface of the water that we could have never known about or seen from the beach. Now, again, both of us are pretty experienced swimmers, and we had boogie boards, so at no point were we concerned for our lives, but it took us 45 minutes to get back into the beach that day. It wasn't pulling us out, it just wouldn't let us back in, and by the time we got back in, we were so exhausted from the journey that we're like, that's it, we're done in the ocean, we've had our time in the water. But what looked peaceful on the surface wasn't peaceful under the water. And that's often true about the ocean, but it's also often true about our lives. And it's often true about how we approach the scriptures, and especially this time of year, where on the surface we go to great measures to speak to the peace of Christ. And we read these stories from scripture that speak to the peace that Christ brings. But what we often don't realize until we look at the context of those scriptures is that below the surface of these scriptures, life wasn't necessarily peaceful. And so let me tell you just a little bit about the context of the Isaiah passage. Now, it does begin talking about how the people are walking in darkness, that they are living in a land of deep darkness. But it doesn't really go into detail about what that darkness was. Well, we should know that through Isaiah's prophecy, there were actually four transitions in kings over the land. Now, anytime there was a transition for the king, the people in Israel, it would have been a time that was high of anxiety. It would have been a time when they were vulnerable to their enemies, to other lands, to other leaders around them, because in a time of transition, that's a time where oftentimes people are most vulnerable. And so underlying a lot of Isaiah's messages is this time and this of transition among the people where it would have been a high time of anxiety. Well, early in these chapters, in the early books of Isaiah, actually Assyria had come and begun to take over lands that the people dwelled in. And that's what's happening during this particular prophecy. Their homelands have been alienated, they've been taken under captivity, and their reality is living under oppression to a foreign empire. They truly are living in a land of deep darkness. What about our lives? Now, we may not be able to directly relate to this type of scenario where our enemy has come in and taken over our territory, we've been taken from our homes, we're living captive and being oppressed by foreign government. And yet, do we not have in each of our lives those times that could be characterized in this way? That we're walking in darkness, in a deep darkness, where we feel oppressed by our life situations, where it's hard to see any light or any way out of this present darkness. And it's to these times and to us that Isaiah's prophecy still speaks truth. Truth to our hearts, and points us to the light who has come into the darkness. Within the prophet's vision, we hear of a nation that will once again increase, where there will once again be a harvest of joy, where the yoke of burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor will be broken, will be gone, where the warrior's boots and garments will no longer be needed. And Isaiah points us to a new reality. For unto us a child is born, given to us by the Lord. And the authority of all things will be upon his shoulders. And I love the parallelism there, where first it talks about how the burden of the oppression is on their shoulders. They're carrying it like a yoke upon the people. And yet this child will come and take the burden off of their shoulders. And the burden of all things, all authority, will be placed upon his own. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. This child will be a wonderful counselor. The translation there almost speaks to like a supernatural counselor, like a Superman when it comes to counseling. But it speaks to one who will give supernatural wisdom. Wisdom that wouldn't be given to those of us who are typical humans. That this child would have wisdom that comes from the divine. Think of it this way: an eternal kingdom needs a ruler with eternal wisdom. And that wisdom would be with this child, who is the mighty God. This is a name that appears nowhere else in Scripture. And it is very directly applying the deity of God to this child who would come. The eternal Father, with the characteristics of a father who is concerned for the helpless, who cares and disciplines and nurtures his people. But it also speaks to one who is over time and eternity itself. One who is the Father of all time and all things eternal. Speaks to a child who is there at the creation of all things when time came into existence. And this child would be the Prince of Peace. Speaking to that incredible understanding of shalom. Shalom carries with it this context that it speaks to a society whose every aspect is in harmony with God's purpose as intended. A society whose every aspect is in harmony with God's person, with God's purpose as it's intended to be. That's the biblical concept of shalom. That's the sense of peace that Scripture speaks of. This overwhelming idea that we are in one purpose within the will of God. And what we know now, looking backward, is that this passage is fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we look at this passage in Luke that speaks to this birth. And certainly, as much as we speak of it being this peaceful setting with this beautiful manger scene and all of the ways that we describe that, the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ were far from peaceful. The census is being taken, would have been a hectic time as people traveled, and especially Mary and Joseph traveling in the last days of pregnancy. The inn was packed, and so the baby's in a manger. And then, of course, it's followed with Herod's decree and the death of who knows how many hundreds or perhaps thousands of babies as Mary and Joseph flee with Jesus as refugees to Egypt. These circumstances are far from peaceful. And yet, to the shepherds, the glory of the Lord comes and shines to them in the midst of the darkness. Brings to them, as the prophecy in Isaiah proclaimed, brings to them this message of good news and great joy for unto you this child is born. This child who is the Messiah, who is the Savior, and on earth there will be peace. Now, all of this raises a great and important question for us. Which reading of our experiences do we choose to live by? Because we live in a time of conflicting messages, and Justin alluded to this already this morning. You know, we talk about how Christ comes and brings us peace, and yet we look at the world, and these are not peaceful times. We read scriptures that talk about how when we come to the Lord in prayer, that the peace that surpasses all of our understanding will come upon our hearts, and yet many of us live our day-to-day lives filled with anxiety and worry and concern. And what Scripture tells us is that the darkness is true. The darkness that we continue to live in is a reality. It never makes light of it. But what we learn through these passages and what's true for us today is that while the darkness may be true, it certainly is not the whole truth. There's more to the story. And so, which reading of these experiences will we live by? Will we choose to allow the world to rob us of the peace that Christ offers? Or will we hold to our faith and our hope that not only can we receive the peace of Christ in our day-to-day lives now, but that one day in the future, Christ will return and the fullness of the kingdom will be present on earth as it is in heaven, and peace on earth, shalom, will be a reality, the whole reality. You see, I think the most popular prayer on the planet is the prayer for world peace. And in a lot of ways, there's two ways that we can respond to that. We can look and see that there's no reality and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," which is a great and important prayer that we pray. And yet, in another sense, we can realize that we too have a calling. A calling that's been given to us by Jesus, the Prince of Peace himself. A calling to take the Prince of Peace to the world. You see, we are in part an answer to our own prayer. And so while we pray this important prayer, seeking world peace, we are called to be an answer to that very prayer as we take the peace of Christ to the world. You see, we know the Wonderful Counselor. We know the Mighty God. We know the Everlasting Father. We know the Prince of Peace. And the seventh verse of Isaiah 9 says, "His authority shall continue to grow until there is endless peace forevermore." That the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This is the Lord's desire. And we have the opportunity to participate in carrying that peace to the world. Each year at Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of this child, as we anticipate Christ's second coming, it's a reminder to us of this invitation. An invitation to find our own personal peace, this inner peace that Justin was speaking of, as we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. As we seek to experience at a greater depth through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the peaceful presence of Christ in our day-to-day lives, who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. It's an invitation to carry this peace into our relationships, the relationships all around us that oftentimes are the source of everything but peace. And yet through the coming of Christ, we are called to be ministers of reconciliation, to participate in God's business of bringing peace into the relationships around us. We can look and read the paper and we can be concerned about what's going on in Ashland and in our county and in the community around us, and we can wonder, Lord, when will you ever bring peace to our community? Or we can leave here this morning committed in and through Jesus Christ to be ambassadors for the Prince of Peace, to carry Christ's peace into the neighborhood around us. And it goes on and goes forth, outward throughout the world. You see, to pray for world peace means to participate in the peace of Christ in all aspects of our lives. To go about our lives the way Jesus went about his life. To carry that sense of shalom, that hope for the peace that will one day come to each and every person with whom we interact. For that is the message of Christmas. That is why it is still good news. That is why it is gospel, that Jesus Christ has come. This is the Savior, the Messiah, who will reconcile all things. And while now we see that in part, and someday we will see that in whole, we have the opportunity to carry that peace into the world, to participate in this growing of Christ's kingdom that will go through all the ends of the earth until that one day when Christ returns to establish the fullness of kingdom. So where in your life this morning are you working really hard to keep the surface calm so that everyone looks and says, oh, there's peace there. We're good. And yet underneath there's a stirring. There's an undercurrent. You're working really, really hard to get back to shore, and it's draining you. The Christ child has come to lift that burden from your shoulders, place it upon his own, and bring peace into your life. This morning, as we take a few moments of prayer and reflection, might you open your hearts to the Christ child, to the Prince of Peace, to the King, the Messiah, the Lord. Invite him into that place of anxiety. Allow the Prince of Peace to come. Bring that serenity into your heart at this time. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are Emmanuel, God with us. And you became flesh and you dwelt among us so that we might find in you the perfect revelation of the triune God, who comes to us, who seeks us out, who desires that we would simply open our hearts, our lives, so that you, Christ, can come in. And Lord, there may be individuals even here with us this morning who have never really considered such a personal aspect to having a relationship with the Creator. And so I pray that if the Spirit is just awakening your heart and placing within you a desire to experience more of God, more of this peace, more of the love of Jesus Christ, that you would simply say, yes, Lord Jesus, come. Yes, Lord Jesus, come. I pray for each of us, Lord, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will experience in a very real way your peace that really does surpass all understanding. And that especially in this season where perhaps our awareness is heightened a bit, you will help us to see you present with us in our day-to-day lives in so many wonderful ways. Open our eyes to see your glory. Open our ears to hear your loving promises. Open our hearts so that you, the Prince of Peace, could come make your home and dwell among us. We thank you, Lord, for your promises, for the fulfillment of those promises that is and will come in Jesus Christ. Help us to continue to prepare our hearts for more of you. We ask Jesus in your precious name. Amen.